So let's go ahead and stand together, and I'd like everybody to open their Bibles or open up your handheld devices and turn to, we're going to read the 23rd Psalm aloud together as we read about the shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd.
Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray over this blessing today and this work that you're doing through us as our shepherd. You are truly our shepherd. And so, Father God, we ask that you lead us down this path right now today as we learn about the path of the shepherd and what this is and how this applies to our life. Let us be good shepherds to you and good shepherds to our community. Father, as you teach and teach your word today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Well, we're in this series of Shepherd, and it's so great to get a chance to do this. And Clay had no idea, and I didn't tell Clay. We don't talk a whole lot all the time. That was part of his complaint about how stressful it is to be in this. But sometimes I leave Clay alone. I go, hey, how you doing, Clay? Doing good? You know, and he just kind of goes, yes, I'm doing whatever I can. And, well, just call me. I'm across the hall tearing out carpet or putting in drywall or something I'm doing. But what we're doing is we're working in this series of Shepherd. And so Clay brought up the point about the 5,000. And at that point, that story is what I want to talk about today for us. Because it was at that story of the 5,000 people and Jesus had fed them. And then at that moment, after he had fed the 5,000, he sent his disciples off. And he said, go across the sea, and I want you to go over to the other side. And he went up onto the mountain, it says in the scriptures, and he went up there and prayed. Prayed all night. He just prayed. And as the disciples went out, and they were out in the sea, a storm, it said, came up, and they had a what's called a crosswind that prevented them from moving forward into the direction they wanted, but yet they couldn't move back because of the waves and the storms. And so they were kind of just stuck right there in the middle of where they were, and Jesus was up there on the mountain praying. And about 3 o'clock, it says in the morning, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came down off that mountain, and he walked towards his disciples, walking upon the water. And as he walks upon the water, he's headed towards disciples, and he finally gets close enough that they can see him, and they're like, they're amazed. Who is this? Is this a ghost? What's going on? You know, pull out your phone. Let's take a picture of this. This is amazing. We got to put this on Facebook. My friends won't believe it. But here comes Jesus walking on the water. He says, whoa, don't be afraid. It's just me. It's just me. I'm just walking on the water. I'm just coming your way. And what the Lord is doing, the Lord is our shepherd. He's leading us in a path. But sometimes in our path, he leads us into a storm. And sometimes we get into tough places and you think, well, you know, surely the Lord says that he's our shepherd and that he leads us to still waters. That means a calm water, a calm place. And he leads us to green pastures, not, you know, weeded pastures, not places where it's struggle. But yet sometimes we find ourselves as Christians and we're good people, maybe kind of like Trinity would mention in her testimony. We get frustrated, like, Lord, what is it? Why am I in this storm? Am I not repentant of a sin? Am I not doing something right? And then we get into our religious acts. And they're just filthy garments before God. So, you know, we just start, you know, doing these things. And sometimes we come across to other people and we become judgmental because we're really judging ourselves. You ever notice that what we say to others is really just kind of a reflection of what's happening in me? Now, I'm not going to give away your story, but that's what I do. I get mad and then I have to check myself. I'm like, what am I upset at him for? Maybe this is just a really good mirror and God just letting me see what's inside me. And we do this. We find ourselves in these storms and we think, well, you know, if I'm in God's will, then surely I can't be in a storm. That's just contrary to what God does. But time and time again, we find ourselves in these difficult spots and we challenge ourselves. But the Lord is in these storms. I wouldn't say creates a storm, but I do know he allows a storm. I really believe that it was us that create our storms. It's really our ignorance or sometimes maybe our good intentions that will create some chaos for situations. Sometimes it's our eagerness to please, and yet sometimes we're just stepping over what God's already trying to do, and we cause sometimes more damage than we do good, right? Can we say that sometimes churches aren't the healthiest place for people to come to in the city? That people get hurt deeper? I'm just going to be real. You get hurt more. You get hurt longer in a church than you would at a job. If a boss says to me, hey, you're doing this and doing that and blah, 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 and gets on my case and fires me, I'm like, okay, that's no problem. I'll find another job. I'm not worried about work. But when it happens in the church, it has a cut. It has a hurt. And we come to these situations where we're like, Lord, I thought I was doing your will and doing your work, and we get controlled by this church environment sometimes, and then we seem like we're in a storm where, why am I here? What happened? What did I do wrong? And it's the Lord in these storms at times that we get into, and we've got to really take a look at that and look at ourselves and see, God, what is this storm for? What is it you're teaching me through this? Because really, truly, I think every one of us will agree, my greatest growth is in my toughest struggles. When I'm going through some hard times, I'm going through some hard questions about myself, about where I'm going, about what I'm doing, about my seriousness for the Lord, about my seriousness to you and to people. What am I doing? I'm looking for this as a paycheck, or is this really something I care about? Is this something I'm really invested in, or am I just doing this to pay the bills? And if that's what we're here for, then God's certainly not creating that. I am. And so these tough times are really good times for us to really evaluate, where are we and why are we in this tough time? Now, that doesn't mean I wish it did, but it doesn't mean the tough time goes away. Just because you take a look at it and you go, yeah, I figured this out. I know what's wrong. I'm going to fix that. And sometimes it just takes time. Sometimes you just got to stay in that storm and you get in that situation and it just doesn't go away, but the Lord's going to use it. See, because the shepherd's path isn't your path. See, and that's where we struggle. We get on this path, like maybe the road to Emmaus. We get on this road and we get going this direction and we're looking for God. Where are you at, God? I'm on my path. Where are you? And his path, it says in the word that his ways are not our ways. His path is not our path. The Proverbs, King Solomon writes in there, he says, lean not on your understanding, but trust in him, and he will guide your way. He will direct your steps, not on your path, but on his. And so when we do that, we really have to take a step of faith. It's that issue that we might not see the path, and we might not see why we're in the storm, but it's that path that we are staying on. And I do this with God all the time. When I'm in a tough place, and my wife knows that about me, is when I'm in a tough place, I almost become tougher. I almost get more determined. I'm like, you know what? I'm not moving. I'm not moving unless you move me. I get in this place where I just get more and more dedicated and committed, because I know if God wants to move me, he can move me just by a snap. But if I start jumping around and start running around and start looking for where I should be or how do I judge it? It's all by what I feel. or all by or the pats on my, oh, I'm getting a lot of pats on my back on this one. This must be the direction I'm headed. And when I get in a tough place, I go, no, 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 this is right where I need to be. This is God's got me here. I know he knows I'm here. Can you imagine King David, little shepherd kid, and here comes Jesse, mighty man of God. And he comes with this anointing oil, and he's like, man, I'm here to anoint the next king of Israel, and I've got this anointed oil, and I want to see your sons, because it's your family that the king is going to come from. And so Jesse's super, you know, super proud of coming there before the family of David, and he sees all the sons. They're handsome. They're good looking. You know, all the people we would choose for leadership. Oh, he's a good leader. How do you know that? Oh, he looks good. And then Shaka walks in right at the right time. Looking good. But this is what God does, is we see the outside of people, we see the outside of circumstances and situations, and we see the outside of the storms, but we don't see what's God doing in the storm. And God's like, no, it's none of those people. It's none of those boys. Do you have another son? He's like, yeah, but he's a shepherd. How would God use a shepherd? Kid's just a kid. He's out in the field. He's like, well, I'm not sitting down until you bring him out. And so they rush out there. I don't know if he's 5 miles away or 10 miles away. They don't have a Jeep to jump in. And they don't have something to get there quick. So it probably took some time getting out there. And come on, David, come on, David, get back here. We got a prophet waiting for you. And David gets back and he's like, yeah, that's him. And it's not the person we think. It's not the situation we think. We see the situation and we go, God, this can't, you can't be working in this storm I'm in. There is no, this storm is tough, but I need out. And that's what we look for. Instead of looking for God, we look for a way out. But I love to say, you know, as I'm from California a little bit here. And so I say, well, if people aren't making waves, then what are you going to surf? I like a few waves. I like to see the ruffles of the sea. I like to see things come out. I get to this place where when I know I'm in a storm, I know I'm in the right place. I know that I'm in a battle, and I know I'm in it for the Lord. And I'll get into that place, and that tenacious part of me comes up, and I'm like, ah, I'm fighting this. I'm staying until the Lord changes that, until the Lord moves. And he'll move it just with a snap of his fingers. And we see this storm, and we always want to check it out and leave. But when David was done being anointed and all this stuff has happened, I'm sure they had a big dinner and they had a big celebration. Where did David go back to? Yeah, he went back to the sheep. And we can just hear the echoing words of Christ, Peter. Peter, yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, that's a stupid question. Is it? Yeah, I love you. Why would I follow you for 3.5 years? Why would I do all these things? Why would I give up my job as a fisherman? Why would I give up all my financial security? Why would I do all those things if I didn't love you? Well, then feed my sheep. And three times Jesus says this to Peter. Peter, do you love me? And it wasn't necessarily because Peter wasn't listening, because by the third time, Peter's frustrated. Like, Lord, you know, and Lord's going, yeah, I do. You say you love me, then shepherd my sheep, love my people. Go back to the field and stop waiting for the palace. Because when it's your turn to be promoted, I'll know where to find you. He wasn't confused. Now, where's that little boy I anointed a couple years back? What, 40 years before he became king. God didn't scratch his head and go, now I misplaced that kid. Where did he go? God knew where he was. And he knows where you are. But we see that when we walk in on the sea, he comes up to Peter and he comes up to the boat. And this is the same Peter that we see as bold and outrageous and confident in his walk in Christ. And he sees it's Christ. He says, man, if this is you, Lord, just tell me to step out. Tell me to step out of this boat and I'll come out and I'll walk on this water. I'll step out here. And what's it a representation of is that so many times the boat is a representation of what we make. Could be a church, or could be a fellowship, or it could be a job, or it could be a family, something that we've made, something we've created. And we want to stay in our creation. It's a nice place for us. We've done a lot for it. We've put a lot of time into it, and we've certainly put a lot of effort. And then some of us older people, and I'll be in that crowd, some of those older folks go, man, I don't have a whole lot more time, so I'm really good right here. What I've created, I am not interested in starting over. These young guys can do that. I'm comfortable where I'm at. But yet God says, you know, we need to come out of this place that we've made and a place that we don't make, a place that we don't know. And there is Christ when he's in that storm and we're in that situation. He's calling Peter to come out and walk out on the sea and to step out beyond what we can see. And when we talk about an adventure like maybe taking over this hospital and doing something like this, is it something that we just have a game plan in our back pocket and we have this four steps of success, how we're going to do this? No, what I see, what makes me so clear about this vision is I see the need. Do I see the provision? No, I don't. Do I see the path in which it's going to all happen? No, I don't see that. Do I know that it can? Absolutely. Are there people that have done this before? Yes. But even if there weren't, God can still do this for us. He can still do this through us. But we've got to step out of this boat and stop being where we're comfortable and start stepping out and going, Lord, this has got to be you. And the only way I'm going to see this is when I get onto the sea. Because God, it's in the sea that we really see. It's when we step out and we really step, because our perspective back here, we can't get it. We don't, it's not logical. It doesn't work for us. We can't conceive it. But when you step to the sea, oh, I see. Oh, I see. And when we get to that place, you are more conscious about stepping out and doing more for other people because you've learned that there's no limitations in Christ, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Did I say all? Did he mean all? Then why aren't we doing all that we can? Because we want to limit our time, our space, our place. We want to limit our walk. We want to limit our talk. And we want to look like we've got all the answers and act like we have all the things. But we don't want to step out and take that faith to do those things. Amen. And in this series, as we teach about the shepherd's path and the shepherd's way, we're going to learn and talk about our path and our way. What is it that we do as leaders? And how do we want to lead our church and our family and our people? We want to set up a system that works, that allows you and me to do what God's called you to do. But the model we follow right now is opposite of doing that. The model we follow right now is something that there's got to be somebody over you, and then you work for them. But what Christ did is he came and said, no, 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 it's upside down. I want you to lead, and those who are over you be under you. Those who you're here to serve, you, they serve you. And so when we take that model, turn that upside down, then we start to see why we're here to do this. This isn't for us, but this is for the city. This is for the nation. This is to help people grow and be grown. But it gives us an opportunity to grow in doing so. Has anybody ever wanted to teach? Has anybody ever, you know, enjoyed teaching or doing something, or maybe lead a Bible study, or maybe lead a, you know, some kind of group? And you think, well, before I do that, I need to know everything. Anybody got there? Anybody? What you realize, I want to lead worship. I want to lead a crowd into following the Lord. And what you realize is, no, he's got you right where you are. Just the way you are is perfect for what he wants. Because you don't learn it before you get there. You learn it while you're there. And that God wants to use us right where we are. He's not looking for us to be perfect. He's not looking for us to be the mightiest and the greatest and the best looking. Well, some of you guys already are there. But he'll still use you. So I'm being encouraged. He'll use you anyway. But we look at David and his, when David started to come to power, he came to power and he was in the cave of Adullam. And all the men came to him from his family. And then all the outcasts, all the people who were in debt, all the people that were the unlikely, the unwanted, the unskilled, the unloved. They came and they came to David, and that was David's army. It wasn't the perfect, it wasn't the brightest, it wasn't the best. It was people at their best, who they were, what they were, and where they were. But out of that work that God did through King David is he made the greatest army in history. The David's army from that group of 400 became the mighty army that ruled Israel and ruled the nation. And after him came King Solomon, and the nations followed. And so we look at this, that God is looking for us right where we're at. If we'll just step out into the sea, he'll use us right where we are, because this is what he wants us to be. He wants us to see that this is God's plan for us, is to know that he's using us right where we sit. We've just got to step out. And it's a stretch for all of us to come out of somewhere where we're comfortable, come out of somewhere where we've worked hard to build. But God's not looking to take that from you. He's looking to add that to you. And where you are, he can't continue adding. You've built it. You've done it. You've done a great work. But where he wants you to be, you can't imagine what he's creating in you. But we're at a place right now in our churches that God is doing a move, that this is a big change that we see. We see earthquakes, we see famine, we see floods, we see wars and rumors of wars, and we see all these things coming, and we see all these signs in heaven and all this that's happening. And yesterday was Yom Kippur, which is the holy day of Israel. Rosh Hashanah was last week. We saw that it's the new year. We came into a new year of Israel. And the church is coming into a new year. And I spoke about that and taught about that, and I don't want to repeat that, but this year, we're coming into a new place, a new spirit. God says that in his holy year, in this day of preparation, he's preparing us to come into a new place with him. And so what the Jewish people would do is they would take this time at Yom Kippur, and they would just purge themselves of anything that they see is in their way. Anything that's their obstacle, anything that's holding them back. And I want to use the analogy of Peter. He took a look at his life and he's thinking, what I have in this boat is nothing compared to what I have on the sea. And when we can realize that we're not stepping away from something, but we're stepping into something, that God's got a blessing for us. If we'll just step up and step out, God's got more good for us than he ever had for what we've done for ourselves. And he's not trying to take from you. He's trying to add to you. But it requires for us to be that faith, to really look at ourselves and evaluate that, God, everything I have was yours in the first place. My talents, my skills, my crafts, my ability to do anything good. But when I pass it to you, you multiply it. When I give it to you, you increase it. So I'd like us to stand right now, and there's a special changing that's happening in the churches today. And I'm speaking it out more prophetically than I am necessarily anything else at this moment. But it's coming, so I need to speak it out. And I just want to pray over us as a church, and there's an anointing here right now, and I want to pray for you as people. If there's a prayer you have right now, there's a need in you you have right now, there's something that you felt like the Lord was telling you when you came today that he wanted to touch you in a special way, I feel the same way. God is doing something. But I want to declare this right now first. I want to say that over the church, God has a change that's shifting. There's an anointing that's shifting right now. There's a preparation in this time of the holy season. This is the holiest of all days. This is the holiest of all times that God has for the year. And this is the time that we're in right now. And so I want to pray right now, Heavenly Father, that Father God, we come to you like Peter and the disciples. We're on a boat and in the middle of a sea. And we're not seeing, Father God, the shore. We don't see the land. We don't see the other side, and we don't even see sometimes where we've come from. But we do see we're right in the middle of something. We're right in the middle of a storm. We're right in the middle of a trial or a tribulation. We're right in the middle of a place in our life that we don't make sense. But Father God, you're right here. You've already started your path to us. You've already started your walk for us. And on this shepherd's path, Father God, you've already provided a place to us. As you did with Peter, and he was willing to step out onto the path. He was willing to step out onto the water. Father God, you've already provided a step for him to make, a walk for him to go. And that as he decided and looked about at the sea and the wind, and his fears come up, they always do, you were right there too to lift him up and to put him back into the boat. And the scripture said immediately, not 5 minutes later and not a 30-minute pass, but immediately when Jesus and the disciples stepped into the boat, the storm stopped and the sea was calm. That Father God, we are here to really come into a place right now in our lives. And I know that there's something coming. I can see it. I know it in the spirit. Everyone, even non-Christians, see there's something stirring in the spirit. There's stirring in Washington. There's stirring in our nation. There's stirring in our schools and in our jobs and in our government. There's stirring that's happening. And Father God, something's being created. There's a storm ahead of us. But Father God, there's nothing to worry, because you're walking towards us right now. Even as we speak, we know your anointing is right here, right now. And I pray over this church, I pray over the churches throughout Nashville, that Father God, you've got a calling on this body. It's a big call, but it's a great call. And it's a call that, Father God, I know if I just say yes, Father God, you'll do the rest. And that was Peter's attitude. Just say yes. And God, you did the rest. And so, Father God, I come here with a family of friends and a family of relationships. This is the bride of Christ I stand before. This is your bride, and she is gorgeous. She is beautiful. And Father God, let us be a body that says yes to the calling and to the work that you're doing into our church, our family, our city, our nation. That miracles are happening right now, right here. Lives are being changed. People are being renewed. And Father God, you've got a new path. A new path for our city, a new path for our nation. That Father God, when you come to quiet the storm. Father God, in the midst of all of our confusion, you bring peace. You bring the still waters. You bring the green path, the green shepherd. And Father God, you bring these green things, these places of rest and growth. That you are the good shepherd. And we shall not want, because you provided for the needs we have as we come to you this day. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.